You're with us for Wisconsin Weekend. I'm Kate Archer-Kent, and we are frequenting art museums and galleries around the state. Art snobs, please allow us a moment here. We're getting tips on how to enjoy art for us amateur appreciators. You know that feeling when you're just not connecting with a work or even a whole exhibit? So when it comes to art, what medium do you gravitate to? Is it painting or photography, sculpture? When was the last time you visited your local art museum? What did you check out? We're at 800-642-1234. You can join in. Leslie Smith III is a contemporary visual artist and an associate professor of drawing and painting at UW-Madison. His works are primarily oil paint on shaped canvases. Find them in the Madison Museum of Contemporary Art and the Milwaukee Art Museum. Leslie, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Oh, thank you. Good morning.
So why is art that we might not immediately understand, why is that worth taking the time and understanding and giving it more than a moment?
I mean, I kind of liken it to reading a dense text. You know, it's sometimes a lot of the meaning or experience can be nested with inside the surface of an image or the material choices of an object. And sometimes it just takes time to unpack that and come to your own conclusion. And you know, a lot of contemporary art, I think, deals with heavy issues, and not all the times are there languages that are accessible for the artist to use. And so a lot of what you're seeing is an artist not necessarily struggling, but trying to figure out a way to communicate these ideas to you. And that might take some time.
And, you know, time is scarce today. Our attention is so fleeting. And with art, you really have to slow down and let yourself take it in. How do you teach yourself to do that?
You know, I think it comes natural for the same points that you raise. You know, I think when you walk into an art space, either nonprofit art space or museum space, you know, institutional space, commercial gallery space, the work kind of takes the precedence, and you just naturally slow down in response to how fast everything is going outside those doors.
For people who may not go to art museums often, what can we do to have a good experience? How can you set us up?
Well, I mean, I think when I was asked this question not too long ago, and I, you know, kind of had my mind going and thinking of a list of things that could be useful, I thought about how I enter museums and was like kind of blown away that I'd take it for granted because I'd go all the time, but for different reasons. Sometimes I'm just a viewer. Sometimes I'm supporting a friend. Sometimes I'm doing research for my own studio practice. And so I think one of the big things is not going in with expectations. I think that's by far the largest thing that I think holds a lot of some of my peers and colleagues back, you know, those that are maybe new to the arts. They get overwhelmed with, well, I don't know how to think about these ideas. I'm like, well, don't worry about it. You know, it's okay. You can come up with that answer later, right? So it's just like, just get in the door and just see, respond. You know, you're always right. The artist is never right.
What about those artist statements or any prep work that you might want to read beforehand?
I mean, I think it depends where you are, you know, in your journey with, you know, appreciating art and fine-tuning your approach and identifying what you like. I think if you are very much brand new and interested in going beyond just, you know, going through websites and things like that, then I'd hold off on reading a lot of stuff, to be honest. I think to make it a visceral experience. Go in and just identify what you like and what you don't like, and then kind of read up on it and maybe see if you can connect the dots between like interests. So, for example, an artist statement might say something that you're like, oh, I had that same thought when I looked at this work. Perhaps that's why I'm engaged with it. Maybe that's something I'll look for when I look at, you know, future statements or future museum text.
What I hear there is some self-awareness of what's going on inside of you as you, you know, look at what is in front of you on a canvas or in any other medium. When something is not connecting, when you just don't get it, do you move on or, you know, what do you do?
Yeah, I mean, I think you do. I mean, for me, that's hard. I mean, because my next question always is, why am I not getting this? Am I supposed to not get this? You know, like, is there something resonant here that I'm missing? And so I go a little deeper, you know, I get closer to the work to see maybe if I'm missing something. But ultimately that happens, you know, and I'm like, that I just I call it, I just don't respond to this. I'm not responding with this. And yeah, I move on or take a note. And maybe there's something else. And this has happened to me in the past where I'll see something a year or two later. And then all of a sudden it's like, wow, that makes sense. I felt this before. And then I'm able to go back to that early work, maybe not see it in person again, but I can bring it up online and say, oh, now I see what's happening there. Then I can formulate my own opinion about it.
We're talking with Leslie Smith III, a contemporary visual artist and an associate professor of drawing and painting at UW-Madison. You can join in. What was the last gallery you visited? What did you think about what you saw? What was that experience like? What exhibit is going on in your community that you want to give a shout out to? We're at 800-642-1234. You can email ideas at WPR.org. Now, Leslie, you're an artist, as you've said, but you're not originally from Wisconsin. How did you become tapped into the art scene and the community here in the state? How did you get connected?
I mean, I've been very lucky, you know, being affiliated with the university puts you into a community instantly, you know, from the day you start. And so I kind of found my way through going to, you know, supporting my colleagues, going to their events. You know, they've got a exhibition at the Kohler or something like that in Sheboygan. They've got a exhibition in Milwaukee or, you know, at the Madison Museum of Contemporary Art here. And then I think as just being an artist and needing to foster that type of community, which is both supportive but critical, you just find your way, you know, and you kind of figure out things. And I'm for sure, I know that there are things that I'm still interested in finding out, new places that I haven't explored or ventured into yet.
Well, here's a curious question. What's the difference between an art museum and an art gallery?
That's, you know, those lines are getting blurred these days, let me tell you. And I think...
Hotel, motel, you know.
Exactly, you know. I mean, art galleries, I think historically within the art world are commercial spaces, right? And so the galleries are representing groups of artists, and those artists are at the forefront of making work right now. And those shows that you see in galleries are collaborations, in a sense, between or conversations being put together between the gallerist and the artist, right, with the intent to get this work into collections. Museums, on the other hand, offer the ability to contextualize works in very specific ways, very curated ways. And so although there might be a singular artist exhibiting in that museum, the curator might have might see something in that work that they want to extrapolate and make a comment or draw our attention as the audience to how that work might resonate with something happening right now in maybe a different sphere outside of the art world. And so they're using their art as curator as a means to bring work in from the contemporary art world and perhaps even historical art world and, you know, kind of match it together and create these larger conversations. And in that capacity, you're going to get a lot of text. You're going to get a lot of stuff, and you're going to see, you know, new work. But then you're also going to have to be maybe a little aware of what the intentions are of the curator. But that being said, that's like a contemporary museum. But there are all types of museums. And there's, you know, indexical museums, stuff like that. And so yeah, that's the main difference.
We're talking about art appreciation with contemporary visual artist Leslie Smith III. A shout out to Lee Yockey Woodson Art Museum in Wausau with its Birds and Art exhibit. It runs through the month. Milwaukee Art Museum is looking inward at its city, presenting Portrait of Milwaukee through February. What exhibits are you seeing in your community? Do you collect local art? Tell us about your pieces at 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Back in a minute, more Wisconsin Weekend here on the Ideas Network. It is Art Appreciation here on Wisconsin Weekend. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Art museums may come across as stuffy and catering to art history majors, but there are all kinds of unique museums in Wisconsin catering to different tastes. Like the Bergstrom Mahler Museum of Glass in Neenah has its Wisconsin Ideas exhibit with 70 Wisconsin glass artists through mid-February. The Whimsical Houses of Ron Corlin is on display at the Cedarburg Art Museum through mid-January. Think 3D models of towering, teetering houses. What's the most memorable exhibit you visited? Do you have artist friends? How do you support their work? Join in 800-642-1234. Leslie Smith III is an associate professor of drawing and painting at UW-Madison. He stays with us. So, Leslie, do divulge here. What are some of your favorite art museums in Wisconsin that you enjoy visiting?
I mean, I've got a bias, right?
But
I love the Chazen.
Uh-huh.
I really love the Madison Museum of Contemporary Art. I really love the Kohler Art Center. I love the Milwaukee Art Museum. I love the, you know, Museum of Wisconsin Art. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I always get that one, like, switched around. But, but yeah, I think more than that, though, there are other programs than just museums, right? And so that you got, like, you know, art spaces that do really innovative things. I mean, art museums are great, but they also show maybe exhibitions that exist for 2, 3, 4 months. So then what do you do in between then? Don't get me wrong. Should you go back to visit a museum more than once? Absolutely. To see the same show, you'll see something new every time, I promise you. But what do you do in between there to keep, you know, this muscle flexed, you know, of seeing art and digesting it? And I think you go to galleries, and you go to maybe non-traditional or non-conventional art spaces that are taking some risks and showing some, you know, local artists. I think you spend some time going to university galleries, because their audience is very different than the museum audience. So the curation around those exhibitions are very different, you know? And so in that case, I mean, UW Oshkosh has awesome gallery programming.
How do you see those different on the university campuses versus in, you know, an art museum?
Well, they teeter a very fine line of being accessible to students, but being teaching elements for professors. And so that means that the curator, the director of those spaces, has to find artists that are at a place where they're able to talk about their work, make that connection, but where there's some inquiry on their behalf that maybe becomes attractive to students, because students are in that very similar space. And so I think the other reason I really love going to galleries that are in universities is oftentimes you're going to have a higher chance of meeting the artist or actually listening to the artist talk, because oftentimes the programming is going to include some type of gallery talk or lecture as part of, you know, that month-long exhibition.
Let's go to Tim now, joining us from La Crosse. Hi, Tim.
Hi. I just wanted to say, you know, I've noticed that having been to museums in like Shanghai, Guangzhou, Xi'an, Tokyo, and many American museums, there's a very large difference in the presentation. They tend to be more minimalist in Asia, and they also tend to be more backward-looking rather than forward-looking, like American museums. Almost all of them in Asia tend to be historical museums rather than modern museums.
Tim, may I ask, what's your favorite museum to frequent here in Wisconsin?
I haven't been to too many in Wisconsin, but Minneapolis Museum of Modern Art's a lot of fun.
There you go. All right, Tim, thanks so much for calling in. Your thoughts there, Leslie?
Yeah, I think every place has their own significant relationship to how they want to kind of present art, right? I think in many countries, and I've never been to Hong Kong, I've never been to see galleries there, so I'm not 100% sure how to address that aspect of it. However, I've been to a lot of other places and seen different institutions deal with art very differently. And I think there's just a kind of a really intense connection between the institution's ability to identify its communities and try to figure out how to best communicate to them. And so I guess if I had to, you know, take a stab at this, I'd say, you know, that difference is probably a difference in that community.
Hmm. Let's go to Jamie now in New London. Hi, Jamie.
Good morning. Yeah, I have a recommendation right now. The Neville Museum in Green Bay is hosting the Women Who Run with Scissors group. My wife, Connie Darko, is a member of that, and it's a fiber art group. And they just do amazing things with fabric needles. It's pretty amazing to see the things that they can make with
fabric
materials
arts.
And sewing. Yeah, that's really a neat museum.
That is such a cool recommendation. Jamie, thank you so much. And Fiber Arts is just going gangbusters.
Yeah, I mean, even right now at the Kohler Arts Center, there's a big exhibition with Lenore Tawney, which is a fibers and, you know, object-based stuff. And I think it's really great.
When you look at the different mediums out there, and we have seen, you know, a lot of fiber arts coming through, you know, when you go around Wisconsin, is it sculpture? Is it paintings? Where are we really shining in our creative arts right now?
I mean, I think it's broad, as it should be. And I very much appreciate that. It's not really, you know, I can't say, oh, you know, when I go around, all I see is painting. I see interesting conversations being had between kind of fine art, you know, endeavors. So, you know, your painting, your sculpture, and things of that nature. But I see a lot of folks kind of finding materials and doing interesting things with them, right? And I'm hesitant to say, like, outside art. And I don't want to say craft, but somehow or another, these things I think influence how a lot of artists that are making here think about their work in a contemporary way. And I think that has a lot to do with the history of Wisconsin, artistically speaking. I mean, Wisconsin is kind of the birthplace of a lot of like amazing things, like our glass. The history of glass here, for example, is immense. The history of fibers here is immense, right? And so I think these things find ways of entering in the spheres of artists' kind of consciousnesses when they're making work.
So I know you have a 2-year-old. I have a mess of kids. Going into some of these museums and with these really priceless pieces, you have that little bit of lurch in you. Like, okay, how are we going to do this? But how do you, you know, walk that fine line? You want to bring your kids along with you as you go to see these incredible exhibitions, but sometimes it's just not for them, but at the same time, you want to expose them to the art.
Oh, absolutely. You know, I mean, my little one, he's very active. And, and you know, there are times when I'm holding my breath, you know, and I'm sitting, I'm saying, oh my goodness, just please stop. Don't touch it. Don't just look at it. But we practice at home, right?
Oh, you practice at
well,
home.
We have a lot of art hang on the walls, and we hang a significant amount of it at his level. And we say, how do we look with our eyes, right? And so he does this squinty face, and he looks at it, and then we talk about the color, and then we just kind of try to keep it in a conversational zone, right? So that attention is held in suspense. And so I don't know where to go from there because he hasn't. We're still in that phase, and so I'm not sure when he's just going to bolt, right? And I don't know what I'm going to do in that scenario. So that's I'm only able to really offer advice up to 2.
Okay. I can just see him with his hands behind his back and like kind of leaning into that art, like getting within a half an inch.
Oh, man. And the security, you're like, oh, too close. You
know? Right. Exactly. So what about guided tours of art museums? How should we go on the guided tour? Should we do it alone?
You know, I think that's personal preference. I mean, I'm a very do-it-alone, you know, person in the museum. I just want to go in and take all the stuff in and then fall back and see what people have written about it, critics, historians, what have you, and then come up with my own idea after that. But at the same time, if you go into a museum that has a guided tour, it's kind of a good opportunity to have something very broad and vast kind of chopped up. Right, you can always go back again without that guided tour, but with that added information. And I know that's a little contradictory to the notion of like, you know, not reading the text beforehand. But there are certain instances where you know the brevity of an installation could benefit from you know having someone contextualize this is this and this is that and this is why the curator wanted to put these things together.
Yeah, and when you say brevity, too, I think about oftentimes next to a piece, the informational panel, and whether I'm going to read the whole thing if there's a lot of text on that panel. Yeah, and it's, you know, sometimes you feel like, do you have too much information or should you just, you know, focus on just looking at the piece and not trying to digest, like, what is the piece named and who made it and then what, you know, and all the context for it.
I mean, I think back to something you mentioned a lot earlier about, you know, the time to slow down. I think with that comes just allowing yourself time to do just what you just articulated, but with an emphasis on just viewing. You know, that art object might be in the permanent collection of that institution. It might be out for a little bit, or it might be on tour. You might not be able to see it again, but you can take a photograph of the wall text in most cases and, you know, kind of look at it over lunch or something like that. But I'm very much about suggesting and encouraging and supporting. Look at the work. Get really close, as close as the museum will allow you to. You know, look at how it's made. Think, and just, like, fill your mind with as much information.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Leslie, thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate it.
Great. Thank you for having me, Kate. I appreciate it.
Leslie Smith III is a contemporary visual artist and an associate professor of drawing and painting at UW-Madison. It is Wisconsin Weekend here in the Morning Show. Coming up, it's Dia de los Muertos, Day of the Dead, and how indigenous communities in Mexico pay respects to their deceased loved ones. We explore this festival tradition in Wisconsin. Do you celebrate Day of the Dead? Do you display an ofrenda, an offering? What does it look like? Join in at 800-642-1234. We'll be back with Day of the Dead festivals right after this news update. Stay with us here on the Ideas Network.